You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
And welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 193.
Hello, 193, a new number, a new fact.
From a listener, indeed.
This week's fact comes from Duena Paplo. Duena tells us that as of today, there are exactly 193 nations in the United Nations.
That's pretty cool.
And that is our fact for the number 193. Hello, everybody. We are the Family Gamers. I am your host, Andrew. And as always, I am joined by my lovely, wonderful co-host, wife, and the best mother in my life, Anitra.
Aww. That's really sweet.
Also, that's you.
Also, that's me.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. When you hear this, it will be the day after Mother's Day. We're recording the day before Mother's Day. As it just so happens, in between those two things is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there from the Family Gamers.
This episode of the Family Gamers podcast is sponsored by First Move Financial.
Did you know that risk when it comes to investing is anything happening other than what is expected?
Sounds right.
Yeah. So when that stock you bought went up more than you thought it would, it was a risk at work with the return deviating from the mean. Now, let's do a little experiment. Here's the experiment. Nature. If I offer you a wager on a coin flip where on heads you lose $100, but on tails you gain $150, would you take that wager?
Lose $100 or gain $150? I'm pretty conservative, so I probably wouldn't. But it's not a bad wager to take.
Most people don't like the wager. Their quick internal math makes the potential loss of 100 larger than the potential gain of 150. Or they could be falling for the sunk cost fallacy that we talked about before, that the money they already have is worth more than the money they don't. Either way, this shows how most people are loss averse, not risk averse.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Right?
The amount of loss aversion you have should influence how much you invest, how much insurance you own, and how much you have in your emergency fund. Knowing more about ourselves and how we instinctively react will help us make better financial decisions in the future. It's okay to be loss averse as long as you're honest with yourself about it.
Makes sense to me.
If you want to talk to someone about your natural money instincts, reach out to First Move Financial by going to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to schedule a time to talk. Thank you to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the Family Gamers Podcast.
So this week on the show, we're going to have a guest. We're going to be interviewing Scott Rencher from North Star Digital.
Yeah, we are going to have him on the second half of the show. We're going to talk about Evolution,
the education edition.
That's right. This is the Evolution video game with a little bit of a different label, different licensing structure. Really cool stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about.
But first, let's talk about what we've been playing.
As always, the way we open the show. So, I gotta say that my favorite game that I've been playing this week isn't really a game that any one of our listeners would know.
Is it Claire's prototype game?
It is Claire's prototype game. So, our 11-year-old has been rapidly prototyping a 18-card cake-building game.
Yeah, it's adorable.
It is. And honestly, like, after a couple of plays, like, there is something there. There's something there.
There's something there.
It's not ready yet, but there's something there. I think she's doing a really good job of staying within the 18-card constraint. And I think, honestly, that it's probably easier for her to work with that constraint because it gives her some boundaries.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm really excited for what she's got going on. We've talked about a couple of ways to change things. She's definitely receptive to feedback, which is good. Who knows? Maybe we'll be ordering another button-shy wallet game sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Maybe we will.
That'll be fun. Actually, we did pre-order a button-shy wallet game this week, didn't we?
I was waiting for you to remember that.
So our friends over at Runaway Parade, these are the people who made Fire Tower,
which we also played this week.
have a new game coming from Buttonshy.
In the summer. Mm-hmm. So we pre-ordered it. It appears to be a bluffing game. It's cute. We didn't really need to know any more than that to say, sign me up, $12 is worth it.
Yeah, in the interest of transparency, we love the Runaway Braid folks. They've been wonderful to us and to Asher. We were going to support the game no matter what. But I'm pretty excited to play it.
It was also a good excuse for me to also pick up the Tussie Mussie solo expansion and the game Seasons of Rice, which was the other game that won the Buttonshy Gen Can't contest along with Tussie Mussie.
All right. Awesome. So we've got more
games for me.
Buttonshy games coming in. I will play them with you. Don't worry.
Thanks, honey.
But I don't have to play them with you on Mother's Day because we don't have them yet.
That's true.
All right. Cool. So what else have we been playing?
So a game we recently got in to work on a review for is called Rock, Paper, Switch.
Yes.
I think you talked about this when you saw it at Toy Fair.
Okay, this game is great. So way back in the day, we reviewed a game called Sky Magic from Peaceable Kingdoms. And one of the things that we said about this game that we really liked was that the minis, which looked like what people think of when they think of standard plastic minis, were this kind of pliable, rubbery.
Slightly squishy.
Yeah, they were slightly squishy. Rock, Paper, Switch has the same type of minis in it, which is kind of important because some of the pieces are scissors.
Yeah, this came up in conversation when I was playing with the kids. Like, huh, it's really weird that these are so bendy. And I said, well, if they weren't so bendy, then I could pick them up and stab you with them. And I attempted to stab in jest and nothing happened because they're squishy. But this is a really neat game. It feels very chess-like.
Yes.
In that you're moving your pieces around the board, trying to capture other people's pieces. And each type of piece moves in a very specific way.
So the board looks a lot like a checkers or chessboard. There's a few of these. They look like replay arrows, I guess. I don't know how to describe them. Scattered around the board. And this is a two or four player game. It is not a three player game.
It can very well be played with three players. But you put out all four players worth of tokens. The fourth color of token ends up being wild. Anybody can move those tokens and use those tokens on their turn rather than using your own.
Huh. I really thought it was a two or four player
game.
Nope. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So each player has their colors congregation of paper, rock, and scissors.
Yeah, you get five pieces of each.
And these, like you said, move in different ways. One of them moves like a rook. One of them moves more or less like a bishop. And the third one moves, I think it's the paper, moves like a cross between a king and a queen. It can move up to three spaces in any direction.
Yeah, in a straight line.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
Well, and
moving around, trying to take pieces. And those swirly arrow things I mentioned before allow you, if you land on one, to switch places.
To switch places
with anything else.
Well, and important to mention is that unlike a game like chess or checkers, specific pieces are needed to capture other specific kinds of pieces.
Right.
So paper captures rock, rock captures scissors, scissors captures paper.
Right. And so it's a really neat abstract puzzle combat, I guess.
Yeah. And I found that in a three-player game, you really need to make sure you split your attention a little bit because as soon as a player is out, anybody else can use their pieces as a wild. But the game ends when only one player still has at least one rock, one paper, and one scissors left. So you're trying to keep track of how many pieces you have, how many pieces every opponent has, and where everything is near the end of the game.
So losing all of one type of pieces is what knocks you out?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So that's Rock, Paper, Switch from Mindware Games.
We've also been pulling out a fair bit of King Domino lately. I think I posted on Instagram pretty recently. It's been an excellent exercise in not only strategy and spatial relations, but also in multiplication and mental math, which some of us really need. Me. I am increasingly finding that I am terrible at this game. So, you know, at least I have fun.
Well, if you're so terrible, what's your favorite part?
It's really satisfying to line up similar territories together and make them into groups. And I get the concept of making sure you connect up as many crowns in there as possible, but I'm not always making the best strategic decisions on which ones to draft.
Okay. For the record, the last time we played King Domino on Board Game Arena, I believe you and everyone else curb stomped me.
I believe I destroyed everyone in that game, but I felt more like it was luck than anything else.
Well, you know, maybe it was.
We've also been playing some Animal Kingdoms. And Claire asked me to play Tussie Mussie, which I will never, ever say no to. Yeah.
I mean, how can you say no to Tussie Mussie? It's a quick game. It's a nice game to play. The cards are nice to look at. Like, how could you say no?
And it's competitive, but it's competitive in the nature of I want to make mine the best, not I want to drag you down.
Sure.
Which is always nice.
Sure.
All right. I have two more to mention that were both pulled off some variation of the Shelf of Shame.
Okay. Going off of last week's show?
Going off of last week's
show.
Okay. These are games that haven't been played in quite a while.
Sure.
Asher really wanted to play the best treehouse ever, Forest of Fun.
Forest of Fun.
Which has not gotten a lot of play recently. I think because it was living with the adult games instead of the kid games. And I found the other day, and then forced the children to play, Women in Science, which was a very early review we did on thefamilygamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really simple set collection game, but the theme is nice. And honestly, I played it with the two boys and they started getting really interested in saying, who's this woman? Who's this woman? What did they do? Which is exactly the point of the game.
Yep, absolutely. You and I played a game that's been sitting on the review shelf of shame from Super Meeple called Tajuto.
This was really neat, but it started really slow.
Yeah, this is a Reiner Kinesia joint. It is a game about building pagodas to get spirituality points. And yeah, like you said, the game starts off incredibly slowly. Basically, at the beginning of the game, the only thing you can really do is draft pagoda pieces out of the bag, and you just go back and forth pretty much just doing that for like 5 turns.
Right, because drafting the early pagoda pieces get you very little of the currency in the game. Yeah. And you need the currency to do anything else.
Yeah, I really felt like the last third of the game was really interesting.
Yeah.
And the first half of the game was really dull. And then that little section between the first half ending and the last third beginning was like, okay.
It's pretty good.
That's what the beginning of a game should feel like to me. So I think we're going to try rule modification on this game to start with a certain number of spirituality points because that'll allow you to do multiple things on a turn.
I also wonder if it will feel less slow if we play with more players.
I mean, I'm willing to try that too. Obviously, we're going to try to understand the game the way that it was designed to be played.
Yeah.
You know, first and foremost. But I just really don't know.
Yeah, it was a real slow start.
So the game was fine and it was beautiful and building all of the pagodas was really pretty. I liked having them all set up on the board and we got some pictures and put those on Instagram so that people could see those. So that was really nice. I liked that part of it. But oh my gosh, it was just a slog to get started.
The first like 10 turns.
Yeah, it was just
nothing much was going on.
Stick your hand in the bag, feel around for a piece that feels like the bottom of a pagoda, pull it out. Put it down, get one point.
One currency point.
And then give the bag back to the other person who would do the same thing. And we just went back. It was almost like really silly. And then at some point, because there's 8 pagodas, you decide, okay, is it worth the risk for me to pull a piece that feels like it's the next height up and hope that it matches one of the bases that's already there so I can keep building? And
yeah,
even then, even 2 points is not that much. It really was tough to get moving in that game. So I don't know. I have some ideas on some ways that I might change my strategy, but it's so expensive to buy anything at the beginning of the game. It's really, really hard to commit.
Yeah, I agree.
So that is Tajuto from Super Meeple. I'm really looking forward to playing it a little bit more and figuring out, like you said, if a different player count is going to speed it up.
Yeah, me too. So I think that's almost it before we go into our break. Giveaway. You still have another week left to enter the giveaway for Monza. Monza is one of our favorite HABA games these days, and I would consider it the Candyland killer.
I mean, I think it's objectively better, right? I suspect that you could get a kid into Candyland a little bit earlier than you could in Monza.
Yeah, a little bit.
But not by a lot. And I think that Monza is going to grow with your kids better. I think Monza is a game that you're not going to want to stab yourself.
Yes.
And play over and over again. Monza is, I mean, it's a HABA classic. It's 20 years old and it still sells. Highly, highly recommend. You can head over to thefamilygamers.com right now and enter for a chance to win.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you and I take a break?
All right, let's do that. And when we come back, we'll welcome our special guest, Scott Frencher.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Mom, have you ever eaten an artichoke?
Yes.
and it was gross. I think we should abandon all artichokes. Abandon All Artichokes is actually a fast-moving card game for 2 to 4 players ages 10 and up, designed by Emma Larkins and published by GameRite. The goal of the game is to get the artichokes out of your hand as quickly as possible. So Claire, let's tell people how to play.
Every player starts with a deck of 10 artichoke cards, and you draw 5 to be in your first hand. On your turn, you will harvest a vegetable from the garden row and add it to your hand.
Then, you play any number of cards from your hand, one at a time. Place a veggie card down in front of you and do what it says. Once you're done with its action, place it in your personal discard pile, unless the card instructs you to do otherwise. Some cards let you compost an artichoke. This means to put it in the pile next to the garden stack, effectively removing it from both your hand and from your personal deck.
When you're done playing cards, you discard any cards that are left in your hand, which are usually more artichokes, and you draw a new hand of 5 from your personal deck and shuffle it into your discard pile if necessary.
At the end of your turn, after drawing a new hand, check for artichokes. If you have no artichokes in your hand, you're the winner. Show off your artichoke-less hand to the other players and announce,
abandon all artichokes.
So that's it. That's how you play. Claire, let's talk about what we think about this game.
So this game was super easy to get into. The first time I was showed this game, I was like, oh, I don't think I really want to play this. Because most games are like half an hour to 45 minutes. But this game is like super easy. You just open the tin and then take out the cards and give them to the players and then just start playing.
Yeah, you grab your deck of 10, you set up the common garden row, and you're ready to go. Similar to a game like Flux or Get the MacGuffin, all the cards tell you exactly what to do. So you don't have to do a lot of explaining to learn the game for the first time. Abandon All Artichokes makes a fun twist on deck building. They actually call it a deck wrecking game. You've got a really nice tension here in between adding more useful vegetable cards and getting rid of the useless artichokes. This makes a great introduction to deck building. It's a really obvious goal and a really intuitive endpoint that the game ends when somebody gets rid of all the artichokes in their hand, not necessarily in their deck.
My favorite strategy is to take the ones that let you compost artichokes right away, like the carrot, which you would just compost 2 artichokes and the carrot, and try to make it so there isn't very many vegetables in my deck. Then I know that every card I take will be an artichoke, and then it's easier to pick when to compost.
That's one strategy. I tend to go with a strategy of taking cards that let me grab even more vegetable cards so I can fill my deck with non-artichokes while getting rid of a few artichokes along the way, in the hopes that I'm going to be able to draw a good hand sooner rather than later. Claire's strategy often ends up with her having fewer than 5 cards total, so she has no deck, only a hand that is always in her hand.
What I think the problem with a strategy like that is, I mean, I tried that the first time, but it makes the game longer. Because most of the time you have at least 1 card in the garden row that's like compost an artichoke and then do something else with a card. But when you use the other strategy, then there's a higher possibility that you'll just keep drawing cards and you'll be like, oh, I have 1 artichoke, I have 1 artichoke, I have 1 artichoke. Because every time you use your whole deck, you shuffle it together again.
Sure, that makes sense. So Abandon All Artichokes does have a lot of reading, so it's best played with older children. We did find it was playable with our child who's a pre-reader, as long as we were patient and because he has a pretty good memory, so he could remember what most of the vegetable cards did after we helped him learn.
The artichokes and all the vegetable illustrations are super cute. The artichokes range from happy to worried to angry, and they're on a black background, which helps them to really distinguish from the other vegetables, which are on a white background, and then the bottom is the same color as the vegetables, and it has the instructions on it.
So there's only 2 real problems we see with this game. The first one is that although the game itself moves really fast, you have to wait for players to draw a new hand and see if they've won. Usually this involves shuffling their discard pile, making a new deck, and then drawing. That part slows down the game quite a bit because you can't just go from person to person to person to person, everybody doing their turn, because everybody's turn ends up involving shuffling.
I mean, technically you could. The person that just went could be shuffling and you could take your turn. And even if they didn't get any artichokes, you would just be like, oh, I didn't need that turn.
I suppose that's true.
So the tin, really eye-catching, really cute. It looks like the head of an artichoke. but it's hard to open and it's really annoying to store.
Because it's kind of round.
Yeah.
Honestly, we've been playing this game so much that I think we might move it into a box or a double deck size card caddy to just make it easier to open up and get started right away. A few times we've opened up the tin and it's taken so much effort that the cards have spilled everywhere.
I do like the insert though, because it goes along with the compost theme and it looks like it's made from recycled paper.
Overall, for under $15, it's hard to complain about the tin when the game itself is so great. So Claire, we really like Abandon All Artichokes. What would we rate this game?
Overall, we rate Abandon All Artichokes as 4.5 out of 5 vegetables. And yes, Artichoke, you are the half.
And that's Abandon All Artichokes
in a snap.
And we're back.
Yeah, we are back from our break, and we do, in fact, have our special guest with us. We are delighted to welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast, Scott Rencher. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, guys. Great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Scott, you have done some work with a property that we know and love.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This has been my life and my entire existence, I think, for the last 5 years or so.
So we are, of course, talking about the game Evolution, or the entire Evolution series, from North Star Games. Scott is highly involved with the creation of the Evolution digital board game. And we're having Scott on the show this week because there's an educational version of this that I think just came out.
Yeah, it came out this week.
All right,
exciting.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about everything about that. You mentioned you've been working on this for 5 years, so we've got all sorts of questions for you about that. But I do want to talk about family gaming. So you've got some kids and you play games with them. You were mentioning before we started recording that you play board games with your kids and you have
and
a lot of fun with
like that.
And sometimes you have to throw the game, which I don't know if I'm a big fan of that, but whatever. I'm not going to throw you under the bus too much.
Thanks. I appreciate that. If my daughter hears this, she'll punch me.
Well, we don't advocate violence at the family. Okay. But we did want to talk about kind of a little bit of what we've been playing. What's one game that you've been playing over the last couple of weeks with your family? Obviously, we've got this crazy quarantine thing going on, so everybody is forced to look at each other a lot more than we probably would normally like to.
Well, listen, you know, I hate to be too much of a company man, but we've actually been playing Quacks of Quedlinburg, what we were just talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's one of the first real board games I've got them to play. And sure. I like it because there's enough randomness. I think for the same reason you said you had a friend that hated it, you know, because there's a fair amount of luck and randomness. I like it because there's enough randomness. I don't have to intentionally throw the games. I can actually try. You can, you know, you feel like you have a strategy and you're executing your little thing and trying to build the right herbs for your potion. But there's enough randomness that the kids can still win, which makes it fun.
Yeah.
So I've definitely enjoyed that aspect a lot. And it's kind of nice to see them start to play a little bit more gamery games. There's more components there. There's more rules there. I let them know that they will play board games. They have no choice in our family. So they just got to figure out which one they're going to like.
All right. Hey, you're preaching to the choir on that one for sure.
Well, especially with being stuck at home and doing education at home, there have definitely been days where I'm like, all right, guys, games. We're playing games. That's educational value.
I did, you know, with the extended family, this is pre-quarantine, you know, I showed them the game and we played and I just got killed. I just got completely skunked. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm a gamer. I kind of thought I know my strategy, you know, and it was our first time playing. And then, you know, a few days later, we're talking and I kind of talked to my brother and he's like, yeah, you know what? I admit, I kind of cheated, you know. And a couple of days later, I talked to my wife, and she's like, you know, there's a couple of times I put the poison berry back in the bag. Yeah. I'm like, oh, the virginity. Oh, my gosh. You guys are the worst.
Now you know.
You're the only honest man at the table. It's like dogs playing poker.
I don't know if to avoid getting struck by lightning, I don't know if I'll claim I was completely honest either. But
That's funny. Well, we just picked up Herb Witches, I mean, probably just barely a month ago. A
couple of weeks ago, yeah.
And we're excited to get that to the table. I don't think we've played since we picked that up.
No, it's fun. It's a nice...
But I'm excited to be able to play with 5 players.
Yeah. One of the biggest reasons why we got it is because we are a family of 5. And our 5-year-old can play a game like Quacks, even though he barely knows what he's doing.
He won't do well, but he can play.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
So, my wife will teach him how to cheat. He'll do all right.
He doesn't need any teaching on how to cheat.
No, he doesn't. He really doesn't. He's the one. He hits basically every third child stereotype. He's going to be a real trouble. He already is a troublemaker. He's going to be a bigger one.
Yeah, I know what's going to be about it.
Yeah. So how long? So obviously at least 5 years, because you said this has been your life for 5 years. But how long have you been with North Star Games?
5 years. So yeah, 5 years ago we started up. I had a corporate job before this. I was working over at Intel Corp, and it was in their tablet division. They were trying to get going there. And, you know, Dominic and I, the founder of North Star, we've been friends for a long time. Clear back to college, we played board games back in graduate school. And we went out to a mutual friend's wedding. You know, I'm telling about how these tablets are exploding and, you know, board games are going to go this direction. And there's so much we could do. Think about, you know, the experiences we could offer here and all this. And, he's like, I know. I've been thinking about this for, you know, a long time. And he's like, I just, you know, don't have the ability to go do it right now. And I don't know this space. And he's like, you do it. And I kind of laugh, you know, like, all right, you know, I got, you know, but then that night laying awake thinking about this.
It's
yeah,
go home. It's the worst time when you're laying awake in bed.
Yeah, I'm like, man, that just sounds like my dream job. Man, I love board games. I love software. Could you imagine being able to combine the two? Oh, man. So, you know, went home, talked to my wife, and we packed up the entire family and two young kids, and we dragged them across the country from Portland, Oregon to Washington, D.C. Like, hey, baby, we're moving across the country, and we're going to make games. It's going to be great.
Right? Well, and you still sound happy, so something obviously worked out.
It's been a heck of a journey. It's been a lot of fun. I'll admit it took us a lot longer to get the first game, you know, to get our initial games out than I thought. But man, software's hard doing it. You know, we got really high quality bar at North Star. We take a long time on our board games. We took a long time on this one to get it all dialed in right, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you that I have been playing the online version of Evolution on my phone, and it looks great and it works great. So you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Music to my ears.
From one software developer to another.
Yes, exactly. I mean, doesn't it mean more coming from us?
It does. It honestly does, you guys. Yeah, software developers know how to rip it apart. They know everything wrong in there.
I guess that was probably the best segue I could make. So part of the reason we have you on now is because you guys at North Star are releasing this education edition of Evolution. So. Yeah. Tell us about that. What makes it different from the regular Joe Schmo version of Evolution, and why should people be interested?
You bet. Well, I mean, one great thing about Evolution is even the regular Joe Schmo version just happens to be pretty educational. You know, we didn't make it an education game, but in trying to keep it as thematic as possible, and, you know, biologists was involved with the creation of it. It ended up being really a simulation of nature and simulating natural ecosystems and trying to and how natural ecosystems have that balance within them. And that's been recognized by quite a few teachers and biologists around the world. You know, we got really excited last year. We had a biologist at the University of Oxford wrote up and said, hey, guys, you know what? This is really the best example of evolution in a game. Because in this one, you know, you're not like your tadpole, then you're a frog, then you're a monkey or whatever. It's like, no, you adapt and an adaptation, you know, happen, and sometimes they work and most of the time they don't. That species.
And you get eaten. And that's uh-huh. What happens.
Exactly.
Or you get starve. Eaten.
Right. You starve. There's a lot of ways to die. You know, he's like, this is just mirrors the process pretty well, you know, and it, as well as the natural selection with the balance in the ecosystem. If there's too many defenseless creatures out there, carnivores are going to come out. If there's too many carnivores, you know, then all their prey is going to go extinct and they're going to die off. And it's got this really nice natural balance to it. So we've had a lot of biology teachers over the last year since we released the original Evolution video game come and say, oh, man, I'd love to use this in the classroom. This is awesome. But we need you to make some changes and some things to make it work in the classroom a little better and work for schools. And so that's what we've been working on with the Education Edition, is doing some of those changes.
I have a two-part question here. So the first part of the question, I'll ask both of them. I'll let you talk about it however you want to. The first part is, what did you change in the game? Yeah. And the second part is, what about outside of the game, around the game? What kind of scaffolding has been put together so that teachers can take this and more easily integrate it into what they're doing in their teaching environment, in their classroom environment?
You bet. And actually, I would say almost all the changes are in that second part, in the scaffolding. The core gameplay is exactly the same in both. What a lot of teachers said is for the to use it in the classroom, and a lot of families said this as well, we had to change a couple of things. So the original game that we put out, we call it free to try. I hate the word freemium, but we wanted people that didn't know the game yet to be able to try it without having to, spend $10 up front.
Yeah, you can get a pretty decent experience of the game without ever paying for it.
Yeah. So we made like the tutorial and the easy AI and one multiplayer game a day free just so people could try it. And then if you like it, cool. You pay one time, it unlocks the game. You can play forevermore all you want. You know, none of this like 99 cents at a time for every day or anything like that.
Right.
And so for schools, through their school systems, that doesn't work for them. They need to be able to buy it up front so they can get their volume discount pricing. So that was a big problem for them. And it was also a problem for some families that it also Apple and Google don't let you use family sharing with an app purchase. It's got to be a premium game to use the family sharing. So that was one key difference right there, was just to make it premium so that schools and families could use it for volume purchase and for family sharing. After that, we made a few things to the account system. We wanted to make it so like if a teacher installed it on a PC, multiple students could go through and use that same PC. Or if a family bought it, all their kids could go through and use the same PC and play on it.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to explore that for a second because this is very important to me. So if a family wanted to get the game and be able to share it with everybody in their family, you would point them at the education edition because of the way the licensing works.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. You know, then you could use the family sharing to put on all your machines, and it's got really robust account switching. So one kid can start on it. They have their own account login, and we got a campaign in there that people can go and explore. It's great for kids because it just slowly teaches the game as you go, and they get better and better to the point that they become pretty good at all the different aspects of the game. And plus kids just love progression, right? They love I'm here and I'm going to this island and now I'm this far. My son, oh my gosh, I've used my son and daughter to test the game multiple times, and they just love it. Like, what level are you on? Where are you at? How far are you? Did you make it to the Carnivorous Rex yet? Where are you at?
Yep.
And so that's great for kids. And so they each want their own account so they can each track their own progress through. And then we know we've got this whole biology ladder where you start off as a biologist and you're working your way up. And as you win more, you can earn avatars in the game and little digital swag and stuff. We got some pretty cool art in there. So we wanted to make sure that everybody was able to track that separately.
Yeah. The separate accounts is huge.
It's a very good thing for us. Even if it's only myself and Anitra, we've got our own devices. And it enables us to share with the kids. For this quarantine thing, we had to buy another laptop because
the kids were constantly stealing my laptop to do their schoolwork.
Yep. So being able to share is a really critically valuable tool here.
You guys are software engineers, so you may appreciate it. That actually turned out to be a lot harder than we thought, but I'm glad we did it. We did a couple other things to the guts of the game. We added a lot more trait tips in. So what we did is, like, every time you start and finish a game, we have an interlude where it pops up a trait tip that shows examples of the traits in nature itself. So that's kind of fun, I mean, we had a lot of fun looking those up and researching and stuff. And so, you'll finish a game. If you use pack hunting in that game, at the end of the game, you'll see a trait tip talks about like pack hunting in lions. And it's fascinating to me. How prescribed those roles are, those experiences, how precisely they're like, okay, here's the wings, here's the center, here's the person in ambush. And they all have a pecking order and they almost like intern and train for these different positions. It's like a football team, how well they make this. It's amazing, And so we put those tips in throughout the game to talk about those things, to tie it back to real life and tie it back to nature too for teachers.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about the lesson plans that were developed for this. So we do have a fair number of listeners to the Family Gamers podcast that are homeschoolers. Mm-hmm.
We're not just talking about people who have been forced.
Yeah, not right now. I mean, like before March, they were homeschoolers.
I respect them. I can tell them that. I'm very impressed that they're able to pull it off every day by choice.
And I haven't really had an opportunity to dig into the lesson plans and stuff like that. I'm assuming those are primarily geared towards the classroom environment, but are they put together in such a way that they would be adaptable to a homeschool environment?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a couple teachers put some together. Dustin, who heads Gaming for Education, has put a couple of those together. Yeah, and they're based around what you learn. You know, what are we going to learn? What did you observe? What did we learn? So basic, yeah, it's a great learning process. And I like the way that some of the lesson plans, we got them up there on our website. They kind of walk through that process and really draw out what's happening in the game. So you can make inferences about, okay, what's happening in the ecosystem? Why did it change? Why did that species die? Why did that one live? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, and all that stuff is available for free or with the purchase of the education edition of the game. So it's not like it's some grandiose plan that you have to buy into or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's free to download. It's on our website. You can just, yeah, you don't have to buy the game. You can go look at it and say, hey, does this make sense for my kids? And be a fun lesson for them. Exactly. Our website, I should throw our website out. It's evolutionvideogame.com. And there's an education tab when you go there that has those lesson plans and resources and stuff there. It has links to download the game and stuff.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to have the link to it in our show notes as well. So sweet. If you're listening to this, you can head over to thefamilygamers.com, check out the show notes, and you can find it.
And I think, yeah, the show's going to air within our launch promotion. We got a launch promotion going right now. We're doing a 50% off because we know a lot of families are stuck at home and, you know, can't go to school. So we wanted to kind of do what we could to support that. So it's normally $10. It's $5 right now. I think it's going through about mid-May or so on that.
Definitely hop on that. It is well worth the money, even at $10, honestly. I've been messing around with the free version, and these admittedly on our end fairly minor changes, but I know they require a lot on your end, make it well worth the money.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yes, I appreciate that.
So one of the things about the Evolution game is that it's not really a game, it's a series. So I have to ask, and I'm not just asking about Oceans, I promise, even though that game looks incredible. You're laughing because you know all the stuff that's in Oceans. I'm not just asking about Oceans, I'm thinking about Climate and all the other ones. What are the plans for the Evolution digital space?
That's a great question. We get that a lot from our fans. Let's see. We do have big plans for a couple of the games in the series. We are excited about Climate and getting that out. It's taken us a little longer than we expected to get like this education version of Evolution out, and we're coming out on the Switch pretty soon if Nintendo ever comes out of shutdown. And their testing lab is closed down right now. It's taken us a little longer to get that one finished up, and then we hope to move on to Climate is our plan. And yeah, I cannot confirm or deny, but there's a vicious rumor that we are also working on Oceans and trying to have it out this year, which would be, you know, that it's an awesome game. Yeah, it's an amazing game. Yeah, so we wanted to get that one out as quick as we could after the release of the game itself so people can experience it. So we may have a Skunk Works team working on that as well right now.
But you can't confirm or deny.
I can't confirm or deny.
Absolutely not. No.
But it's very possible that I played it today.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll just send you my test flight account.
Wait a minute.
No, we'd love to have you in the beta if you guys would want to play.
That'd be fun. That'd be a blast.
That'd be cool.
And then you guys can do the digital version of Quacks.
There you go. Just keep cranking them out.
I don't know how you're going to do an educational version of that, though.
Yeah, I don't think there's nearly as much educational benefit to that one. It's just the math about the probability.
I think you're right.
Although, as I've been wont to say, especially since we started our isolation and sheltering at home, every game is educational. Even if it's just taking turns and not having a fit.
Right.
Not yelling at each other and grabbing the piece out of their hands. Yep. Very true. As my wife likes to say, sometimes a glass of wine helps the game go a little smoother.
it is the adult teaspoon of sugar. We get it. Totally get it.
Yep, exactly.
So let's talk about where you can actually play this game. So we mentioned computers, but obviously we were talking about playing the game on phone. So where is this available?
Yeah, so we're in the App Store for iPads. You can play on a phone. iPads tend to be better for kids. Nice big screen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love those. We are in the Google Play Store, which also works on Chromebooks. You can use it on Chromebooks or Android tablets there. And then we are in the Windows Store for PCs. So those are your three places: Windows, Apple, and Google.
Awesome. And we were talking earlier, and what we are going to do is we are going to get some codes. For our 200th episode, we've been starting to tease out some information about how we're going to be giving a bunch of stuff away on episode 200 of the Family Gamers podcast. And Scott has been generous enough to offer some codes for Evolution, so we're going to have those as well. But you shouldn't even wait for that. You should just go hit the launch window right now. $5 is going to get you the Education Edition. It is different on different devices, right? So like if you have a mixed device household, I don't think you're going to be able to share that $5 purchase between them.
Yeah, you can't between different platforms. If you have the same platform, like you could share it among Google devices or among Apple devices. That kind
I just don't want anybody to be caught unawares on that. So definitely check that out. We really do have a lot of fun with it. I know Asher loves playing this game on the iPad. So
cool.
Yeah, highly recommend that you check that out.
All right. Awesome. So guys, speaking of where to check it out,
mm-hmm.
Scott, tell us where to find, other than, yes, go to the App Store. But if we want more information outside of just go to the App Store, where should we find you and North Star Games and Evolution the video game?
You bet. I mean, the best resources are our website. We got some lesson plans there and links to all the different platforms. It's evolutionvideogame.com. So evolutionvideogame.com. Once you get there, we do have an education tab, but the main page right now is dedicated to the education game too. So click on the education tab and that's where the lesson plans are. It tells you more about the game. It'll have links to the different platforms, etc. It's got a contact page there. You can do that to get to me, or you can just write me at scott@northstargames.com. I'd love to hear from you. I can write you back. I think that's it in a nutshell. We're on Facebook and Twitter and all those good things too, under Evolution by North Star Games.
Awesome. So, Anitra, question.
Yes.
Where can people find us if they're looking for The Family Gamers?
Well, you can find us at our website, thefamilygamers.com. Or
I've been there.
Yeah, I'm there on a pretty regular basis. But you can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at FamilyGamersAA for mm-hmm. Andrew and Anitra.
That's us. You can also head over to the Family Gamers community. It's a Facebook community, but the easiest way to get there is to go to thefamilygamers.com/community.
Or if you don't like this newfangled social media thing.
Newfangled?
I know.
I don't know why you keep saying newfangled.
So you can email us, anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
andrew@thefamilygamers.com. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. Tell your friend about the show, or tell other people that you don't know about the show by leaving a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode of the Family Gamers Podcast is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points. Or like the little feeding tokens.
Yes.
In Evolution.
Food.
In food, yeah.
Pile up the food.
First Move Financial can help you figure out how to buy food.
Presumably,
yep,
yes.
That's the thing that they can help with. Yeah. So thank you to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the Family Gamers Podcast.
Well, I think that's it for this week.
Are you sure?
I am not sure, but I hope I'm right.
Okay. All right. Well, until next week, everybody.
Play games with your kids.